This morning we have a topical sermon for you this morning. I was visiting with someone this week and we were talking about how Grace Bible Church is given to expository preaching, and I was talking about I believe it was Jerry Vines that said you ought to do topical sermons. He said you do one each year and then repent. But this morning, I thought it would be good for us to have some reflection upon this time and this season, because I know how I am, and I know that you're the same way, that often there are distractions, and we get caught in the season, the busyness of the time, finishing finals for these young folks that are finishing up there at school, and the pressures, family pressures of buying gifts and such things, that we often lose sight of what we need to be celebrating and need to be rejoicing in. But this morning we want to speak about the value of a gift. Now, when we give a gift, and when Christ gave ultimately of himself, it's important for us to realize that a gift giver shares a part of himself with another. That's the basic idea of giving a gift. Christ said that the ultimate gift is to give one's life for another, and which he demonstrated, spoke to his disciples, and then demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. And we celebrate it even today, this morning, as we recall and think in terms of the love of God, our Creator. It has all kinds of things to do with you and with me. It has to do with the realities that it's his very character, the very character and nature of our Creator, the expression of love. And humanity without this kind of love, with this vacuum of the realities of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us and taking upon himself our sin, that we might have life, is very meaningless. It's very empty. And so we need to reflect upon the value of a gift. Your outline describes the value of the gift as being determined by the receiver of the gift. It's determined by the desire and also by the need. The value of the gift is determined by how much we desire that gift, but also by how much we need a gift. And it can be one thing or another. Some of you will buy some gifts for others that you love this Christmas because on the basis of the need of that person. But some of you will buy a gift simply because you see the desire and you long to fulfill and provide the satisfaction of life and of the desire of that person in life. And those are things that God has placed within us. They're necessary things. We're needy people, and we also have strong desires. Our heart can be set, and our affection can be set upon many things. And it behooves us as God's people to refocus, and to make sure our heart, our affections are set upon the right thing, and that we're not desiring things that are damaging or dangerous to us, and that ultimately we're entrusting ourselves and our needs to the one who has so faithfully provided in every way for us as God's people. So let's look here a little bit at our outline. When we consider the value of the gift and we look at the desire, the value of a gift, again, is determined by the things that we desire. And in light of that, we want to have just a few reflections and thoughts about that. Number one is that we are often impatient for the satisfaction of our desires, are we not? I mean, we just sang a song, "Oh, come, Emmanuel, come." And I love this song, and Sandy was pointing out that that's probably the oldest Christian hymn that we have. It goes back to like 500 AD? And it's the reason it's sometimes a little bit difficult to sing and put those words in there is because it was a chant, and it's come down through many, many years. But the longing of the human heart is something that is characteristic of us today as it was back when that haunting melody was first written and the words were put with it, longing for the coming of the Messiah, for the one who can finally right things. And our world is in such a mess, and so we become impatient. I get increasingly impatient for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we look at the political problems that we have, and you know, as we look through human history, we find these different leaders, and you can look at them and look at the terrible things that have happened politically to so many countries and nations and tribes of people and civilizations. I mean, civilizations that have actually risen and completely destroyed themselves. And so we need God. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we say and sing such a song as, O come, Emmanuel. God, Emmanuel means God with us. We need God with us. We need His presence. We need to enjoy His presence this morning. And sometimes in that waiting, we long and we become impatient for the satisfaction of those desires. I read an illustration of a lady that talked about, I think she was like in 5 years old, she's in the first grade, and she was at class in school, and she looked up with one of her neighbors there. The little girl had a beautiful little wrapped present, a gift, one similar to the picture that we have up here on the screen, but it was a very, very, the tiniest gift she said I'd ever seen. A little package, and it had a beautiful bow. It was beautifully wrapped, and this little five-year-old girl was looking at that present day after day, and her little neighbor would set it up on her desk and look at it there. This is the Christmas time, and so she looked at it and longed for it, and at one point decided, well, I can sneak in at recess and find out what's in that package. She was just so curious about what kind of really exquisite and unique gift would be in this beautiful little package that sat on that desk before her day after day. And so she slips in one morning at recess period and unwraps the present. And, of course, on the inside was what? Nothing. There was nothing in it. And often the pursuit of our desires are like that, aren't they? In fact, at one point the Apostle Paul says, I count it all rubbish. I count it all refuse. Those things which before I had desired, those things which I had pursued in life. And how often we have invested our time and our energy and our focus and so much of ourselves into the pursuit of something that is much like this little package. We open it and nothing's there. Or worse, something disappointing or damaging is there. And that's the nature of sin, isn't it? We can desire wrong things. Again, it's why it is necessary, and I say this all the time, but God wants your heart. He cares about what you desire. And what we desire is the essential, it's the essence of what we will pursue in life. If you desire certain things in life, those are the things that you're going to pursue. So what does God say? He says, love the Lord your God with all, number one, your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Put your desires upon God this season. Put your desire upon Him. Learn to love Him. Learn to love His character, His nature. Learn to love the things about Him. Learn to enjoy the realities that in Christ Jesus, you and I will live and reign under the greatest, most phenomenal reign that will ever occur in human history, where Jesus Christ, the benevolent ruler, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Prince of peace, will sit upon the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem, and there He will reign over the whole world, and we'll finally have a ruler. We'll finally have a man that was of the offspring of David that sits upon the throne that cares enough about you to die for you. Enough about you unselfishly demonstrating His right to rule, His right to reign, the benevolence that in the human heart we have so long and often longed for. Jesus Christ, there's no one like Him. Our meditation should be placed upon Him. Our love should be increased for Him daily. Our study of the Scripture and knowledge and pursuit of God should be determined by the desire that compels us to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ, to have a more intimate relationship with Him as we come into 2009. And we're going to need that, aren't we? Times are trouble. The season is rough. We're living in a time in human history where we need a close relationship with the Lord. And so, though you may be impatient for either good things or bad things, and desire in the desires of your heart, pursue and set your heart upon those things that are beneficial from the eternal perspective in the long run, and that when you finally open that package will be of great satisfaction, will be of tremendous benefit, an eternal benefit, rather than something that is temporal, something that perishes, because your desire, the desire of your and my heart, can be set either way, can it? But if we as God's people, I mean, really we make the decision here, don't we? Because God has given the offer. He's provided the way of salvation in Jesus Christ. He even by His Holy Spirit and by the very nature and way in which He has created us has increased and put that desire, that longing there that has gone through human history so that we sing songs like, O Come, Emmanuel. He's put it all there. But there's a decision that we make, right? There's a decision right now that in this pew that you make before God as to whether to pursue Him, whether to pursue eternal things, and whether to wait for those eternal things. And so patience is involved. We can become impatient for our desires to be satisfied, or we can trust God and wait on God. And as we open the package that God gives you, I promise you this, as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will not disappoint you. Ultimately, at the end of the wait, when you obey His word, when you seek Him, when you put your desire and your affection upon the things that God wants for you to care about, He will satisfy you with a deep satisfaction. That's what we need this Christmas season. The value of a gift is determined not only by the desire that we have for that gift, but for the ultimate value of it, for the eternal merit and value of the thing that we desire and pursue. And so we will make a decision in our relationship with God as far as whether we will obey, Whether in patience we will wait or whether in impatience we will not wait or pursue other things. But I encourage you to be satisfied with God. Be satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be satisfied with the goodness that He has given to you. Secondly, we often desire things that will not satisfy. Of course, we've already gotten into that. But the idea there is that we can either lose patience or that we can out and out pursue something that a gift in life that simply will not fulfill. And the point to be made here is that a valuable gift produces joy that the satisfaction of a desire brings. And that's the main point. Our desires are meant to be satisfied with the joy that God Himself brings. You know what Jesus Christ said to His disciples? Do you remember that in John? What was it He said? I've come that you might have joy. And these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. So, you see, here's the sad thing about our human existence. As we walk around through so much of life with these incredible longings and this deep desire for things that we don't know what we desire. We don't know what we're longing for. We don't know the value of it. We don't know the end, the satisfaction of it. But the real gift, the real true stuff, the real good things that come from God produces joy that brings the deep satisfaction of knowing that I have attained, whether through gift or pursuit, this desire and this satisfaction and maintain my integrity in it. You know, it says that our faith in 1 Peter, it says that the proving our faith is, it speaks of our inheritance there, and an inheritance that is incorruptible and that will not fade away. What God is giving to us as His children is something that brings deep satisfaction, that ultimately will fulfill. And two things are involved. Don't pursue the wrong things. Don't desire that which will bring you to emptiness. And secondly, wait. Wait for God's fulfillment of that desire to bring that satisfaction that only God can bring forth. Don't you love the Psalm 37? You have Psalm 37 verses 4 and 5. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of His heart. I like that word delight. It's kind of an interesting word. It's almost an effeminate word. In fact, it can carry with it the idea of effeminacy or delicacy. But the point being made, I believe, is simply that when we put our joy, when our pleasure, when our desires, our appetites are in the Lord. And that's the qualification. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself. Think of it this way. In the things that your Creator says that you really need. Delight yourself in the purposes that the One who was so incredibly majestic and wonderful that He created you. He knew how to design you. He's the one that wrote the manual, that knows what the very core of your inside and what ultimately will satisfy you and what your purposes are and for why He created you. And when you delight yourself in Him, you're ascribing to Him that which is rightfully His. As my God, as my Creator, as the One who is Lord and owns me, I'll put my pleasure in the pursuit of you. I'll put my pleasure in what you have said is good for me. And I will entrust to you those things. So again, at Christmas, it's a basic commitment that we need to remind ourselves of every day, that we're to delight ourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I've seen some very, very disappointed people, disappointed because impatience, sometimes disappointed because of simply the consequences of wrong pursuits. And a lot of people that say, well, when does this longing and when do these desires of your heart actually get fulfilled? When does that happen? Because I've been waiting and I've pursued the Lord and I've looked and I've longed after the things of God and set my sights upon those things. And yet we still sing songs like this, "Oh come, oh come, Emmanuel," because we're still longing. And I've found as we go through life, oftentimes, you know, if I can just find the right partner, the right mate, then my life will be together. If I can just get out of college, if I can just graduate from high school and finally become independent, and you graduate from high school and you become independent, and then you're into college and you owe money and you're still a slave, and then you get out of college and say, well, if I can just find the right mate, if I can get married, and then life's going to be satisfying and fulfilling. And then it's children. Oh, if we could just have children. And then after that, it's other things, grandchildren, and we always long, we always desire. But the question is, do we trust? Ultimately, at some point, you know, we gotta sit and say, God, this is my life. This is who I am. This is how you made me. This is what it is. And I thank you for it. And I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to be content in you. I'm going to delight myself in you. I'm going to take my pleasure in you and entrust to you my life, my future, my plans, and especially eternity, because you are the God of eternity, and I rest in you. So will you rest in the Lord? Will you place your desires on Him? I love the proverb, hope deferred makes the heart sick, and it's true. I mean, we can long for things in life, and some of them can be good. Some of them are bad. The bad ones will never satisfy. They'll always be the empty gift. The good ones will provide temporary satisfaction, but ultimately we need the Lord. We need our God. We need His presence. We need relationship with Him. We need deep, intimate relationship with God. And you can pursue it in other things, but until you find right relationship with the God that created you, and until we lay hold of the realities that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which He before ordained for us to walk in, that God has a calling and purpose for us, then we're always going to have that, to some extent or another, that hope deferred, the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. When Emmanuel comes, the second coming of Christ, I want you to know it's going to be a tree of life. There's going to be such deep satisfaction for God's people that we can't imagine it. And even if in preaching this sermon this morning, you might catch a little glimpse from God's word or from some of the words spoken here, you still will not even begin to scratch the surface of the great and awesome and mighty things that God has planned for you. And when that tree of life comes, it's going to be a marvelous thing. It will be a tremendous time of celebration, a wonderful thing that God's people will enjoy.